You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Two things happening simultaneously. Don't miss either of them. Trump signing an order banning gain of function research in foreign countries, particularly hostile foreign countries, because gain of function research can be used to kill millions of people. RFK, meanwhile, in a bombshell interview talking about this history, and particularly Fauci's history, and how they're investigating it. Folks, this is huge what's going on right now and between what Tulsi Gabbard announced last week and what RFK said yesterday. Okay, here's RFK laying out gain-of-function history. Gain-of-function is where you take a virus that's not very dangerous, like the kind that they harvest from those bat caves, and you teach it to do two things. You make it more deadly, and you teach it to jump from animals to humans, something that normally takes hundreds, if not thousands of years in nature, if it ever happens. You do both those things, and then it gets out, conveniently, into the population, which on Fauci's watch has happened not once, not twice, not three times, but count them, four times. COVID is only the most recent. Here's RFK explaining that history on Laura Ingraham.
As you pointed out, gain-of-function studies the kind of science that is designed to make microbes and pathogens more virulent, more transmissible, and more deadly. It was in this country, they started doing it in 1947, the military and the intelligence agencies, in order to develop bioweapons. In 1969, President Nixon banned it all, shut down Fort Detrick, shut down all the labs. That ban, and then signed the Bioweapons Convention. That ban lasted till 2001. And after the anthrax attacks, Anthony Fauci began, essentially restarted the arms race and the bioweapons arms race, and did it under the pretension of developing vaccines, because of the same science that you develop bioweapons and vaccines. In 2014, three of his bugs escaped, and 300 scientists wrote letters to President Obama asking him to shut down Anthony Fauci. President Obama declared a moratorium, but instead of shutting down his experiments, he moved them offshore, mainly to the Wuhan lab. And now, you know, the principal institutions of our government, the CIA, the FBI, the State Department, Department of Energy, all say that it is most likely that those experiments resulted in the COVID-19 pandemic in beginning in 2019.
You bet it did.
Oh, President Trump today moved to shut down this kind of research in this country and to stop funding it abroad.
So, folks, that is a history of Fauci most people don't know. It comes out of RFK's book on Fauci, which is quite a read, by the way, that Fauci had done this multiple times, weaponized bugs. They got out, they hurt, and they killed people. It had happened three times before COVID. It got to the point where Fauci, mad scientist, was so out of control that 300 prominent scientists asked Obama, look, you got to, this guy's going to kill us all. You got to get control of him. So they went, we'll sneak it over to China. No one will notice. That right there? Well, I'll let RFK tell you what he thinks is going on. And he said this on Laura Ingraham.
Do you think this is the reason that Anthony Fauci was given a pardon by Joe Biden, and that in some way is linked to this gain of function
funding?
Well,
you know, I don't know what was going on in Joe Biden's head, but I think that Anthony Fauci probably asked for that pardon, knowing that he had some liabilities here that were more than reputational. They were legal liabilities.
Criminal liabilities. Yeah, it's the fourth time he's doing this. After a while, it gets super duper obvious. And anybody who's an honest actor looking at the history that RFK just laid out there is going to go after it. Like Tulsi Gabbard. This is what she threatened to do. Well, not threatened to do, said she was doing last week. Looking not at China's role here, but at Fauci's and the U.S. government's role. Here's a little bit from her on that so you can see where they're going. Because this was a huge announcement last week. We're looking at COVID's origins, not just from the point of view of, hey, China and the Wuhan lab, but how did it get from UNC Chapel Hill in Fort Detrick to the Wuhan lab? That's the question. And folks, this is all connected. This first half an hour I've done here, it's all connected. This is why they don't want Ed Martin to be the prosecutor over DC, i.e. over Fauci, over the National Institutes of Health, over the NIAID, over all those labs and all of those grants, and over the Pentagon, over all of it. Everyone who was involved in sending the weaponized virus to the Wuhan lab. This is why Tom Tillis has been chosen as the Republican corruptocrat to block Ed Martin, who is investigating all of this. Does this make sense? It all ties together.
But the thing that we are working with Jay Bhattacharya, the new NIH director on, with, as well as Secretary Kennedy, is looking at the gain of function research.
See?
That in the case of the Wuhan lab, as well as many others around, many of these other biolabs around the world, was actually U.S. funded and leads to this dangerous kind of research that, yep, in many examples has resulted in either a pandemic or some other major health crisis.
Here's the key bit there.
Was actually U.S. funded.
They're pulling that thread. Washington is terrified. She's awfully close to the truth. You know where it goes? Right back to Barack Obama.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With the internet, even with social media, it is amazing how much real news gets blacked out in the United States of America. Folks, if you want to know what's going on with the trade war, you really got to read publications in America, yes, but also outside. Because so much news is blacked out, even in like Fox News. Why? Well, look at everybody from Fox Business to CNBC, CNN Business. Look at the breaks. It's nothing but multinationals. Their news is going to be really whack when it comes to trade stuff. So you should see this today in the Times of Kenya. Headline. You won't see this here. India bows to Trump, accepts all U.S. trade conditions and tariffs. Wait a minute. Let me read that again. India bows to Trump, accepts all U.S. trade conditions and tariffs. India has sided with the United States President Donald Trump on the trade war with Xi Jinping of China. Reports indicate that Indian Prime Minister Modi is ready to accept all conditions of the U.S. in a trade deal. Trump raised tariffs on most Chinese imports to 145%, citing need to reduce the trade deficit, blah, blah, blah. We know the story. China imposed 125% tariffs. And on we go. Interesting. Now, simple math that the U.S. media will also not tell you. 18% of India's exports go where? Here. We're their largest trading partner. We buy 18% of the stuff they make. What about China? 3.85% of what India makes goes to China. But when your largest trading partner, the U.S., is run by people who hate America, you can do whatever you want. And the money still flows to you, and India was. India had actually, like 6 months ago, partnered with China in BRICS in a mutual bid to destroy our currency. Because why not? I mean, we have no respect for ourselves. Our leaders hate us. At least they did under Biden. You could do what you want. You could run around openly declaring war on a country's currency. You might as well declare war on the country. Currency collapses. It'll look largely the same as after a war. And India was. While maintaining great trade relations with us, they were openly at war with our currency. Which is, I mean, folks, that's war. You don't have to bomb a country to destroy it. Think about it this way. Whose currency, whose economy are we openly at war with right now? Iran's. Trump's put sanctions back on. Why? They're the world's foremost state sponsor of terror. That's how you treat a country that's the world's foremost state sponsor of terror. That's how India was treating us. That's how dumb our leaders are. Now, notice what is beginning to happen with India. Look, I don't know how it'll end. Maybe it'll go south. Maybe things will end badly. I mean, I don't know. I don't know anybody any better than anyone else. But I know all the signs are good. India, under Trump, has gone from, hey, I think I'll partner with Russia and China to take out your currency, suckers. Oh, please buy our stuff. To, you know, tariffs on China are actually a good idea. Yeah, we'll slap a 12% steel tariff on China so they can stop running their steel through India and selling it to us to get around our tariffs. That's a pretty big swing. Hear any of that in the media? Wow, that's a kind of an inspirational story, actually, to even get that far. No, you didn't. You got to read the Kenya Times. Again, headline, India bows to Trump, accepts all trade conditions and tariffs. Okay, now, is that a signed trade deal? No, it is not. We'll see. We'll see if they put pen to paper. But that's a good direction. Again, I'm not forecasting anything. I don't know. But this is the kind of crap that is going on, including with Fox News and Fox Business and the establishment business media in this country. They are not, you're not getting the basic news that you would if you lived in, say, Kenya. It's good. It's really, we should have the upper hand with India. 17.73%. We are their largest export partner. We buy their stuff. Heck, we just got them a deal with them. You know, they're going to be making Apple. Phones, all of them. Boom, right in their lap. They need to drop China and stop messing around. It looks like they're getting ready to do that. They don't want you to know that because they're still trying to terrify mom and pop into selling their 401k stock. Tanking the markets. They're not really getting anywhere, but it's just amazing to see the all the media work together to sort of create this really scary kind of confusion. So, but that's good news, folks. It's happening today. You should know that. Some good signs. And look, India would be smart to do this because there's going to be a lot of stuff we can't affordably make here very well, like Apple phones. Someday we'll be able to if Trump truly unleashes all the energy, and he's done a lot this week toward that. But right now, do we want a $3,200 to $3,700 iPhone? We don't. So we're going to make it in China. We're going to make it in India for now. And that's fine. That's great. We don't want them inside our Apple phones. We don't want either crappy, tech theft. We don't want them spying on us. We don't want any of the junk that comes from manufacturing China. Why are we doing it to save a few bucks? We're not. We're moving it to India. That's good. That's smart. I support that. I wish it was here, and someday it might be if we can manage to undo the damage the Democrats did to our energy economy. That day isn't today, so we're going to make it in India for now, and that's okay. And India should pay up for that. They should pay big. They should pay dearly. They should sign every last document we put in front of them just for that. So, folks, ever so slowly, as Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent begs Wall Street for time and to just shut up with the negativity, every day we crawl an inch further. But we always knew it was going to be like this. We always did. Everything was going to be a fight. You can't just change the new world order into a better world order overnight. You know, a lot of people making a lot of money off a lot of bad decisions is going to fight you really hard, and Trump is.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.